Now, I'm not asking, I don't want anybody to respond to this. But, Curtis, if somebody came up to you and said, "Is Scott a Christian?" what would you say? Or Calvin? If somebody came up to you and asked, "Is Scott a Christian?" what would you say? I have to pick on Jesse. Mike, if somebody came up to you and said, "You know Scott? Yeah, is he a Christian?" what would you say? What would your reaction be? What would go through your mind? Would you have, you know, we all have photographic memories and we remember stuff. And what would flash in your mind? "Oh, I remember him doing this or that," or You might ask, "Well, why are you asking? You know, what's up?" Or you might say, "He claims to be, but I wonder sometimes." Or, "I think so." Or you might say, "Absolutely, he's a sinner, saved by grace." Anyway, first of all, what is a Christian? The dictionary definition is, first definition is, pertaining to, believing in, or belonging to the religion based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Second one, a person who believes in Jesus Christ. And then the third is a person who exemplifies in his or her life the teachings of Jesus Christ. The title for the speech today is, "Am I a Christian?" Okay, where do I find out more about Christians? For one, how do they act? What do they look like? Are they easy to spot? Why would somebody become one? And then how do I become a Christian? Where do I find answers to these questions? Oh yeah, of course. Everybody knows you Google it, right? Well, Google is only an aid to finding information. And bringing the information together for whoever's looking into it. Anything you need to know about God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit and becoming a Christian and living the Christian life is found in the Bible. All kinds of books and articles have been written by people to help us understand the Bible, but the Bible is still the original, the God-inspired book, the plumb line. The book you check to see if the articles and books written about the Bible line up. The Bible is God's word and the final authority, period. Am I a Christian? Do I believe that? Do I believe that in this book, this Bible, there is everything I need to know about being a Christian? Do I believe the Bible is the heart and mind of Christ? Am I a Christian? I better believe that. If I'm not convinced that this book, again, keep in mind the Bible, if I'm not convinced that book, if I'm not convinced that this book is God's way of speaking to me today, his way of instructing and teaching me, his way of comforting me, his way of complimenting me, his way of picking me up when I can't get up, his way of nourishing me and refreshing me, am I a Christian? If I'm not convinced of the value and power of this book, the Bible, I question the vitality of my Christian life. Am I a Christian? Let's look to God, the author and finisher of our faith. How do I become a Christian? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have eternal life." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." All we have to do is believe in Jesus. If we believe in him, we will believe his word. We will swallow it, like I would say, we'll swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I had to say, that's when you know you have good bait. But what can I expect as a Christian? Let's look at what God says has to say. Matthew 16:34 says, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Wow, how exciting does that sound? Does it sound like really I can get something I can get excited about? I have to deny myself? You mean I can't have all the candy and Dr. Pepper I want? You mean I can't go shopping anytime I want, or golfing, or hunting, or fishing, or whatever I enjoy? I have to say no to myself and take up his cross? What? I have to carry a cross? Well, y'all, don't stress. God said in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But by taking up the cross, I have to mow somebody's grass. I have to take them a meal. I have to wash their car or maybe their dishes, all that, and not get paid? And then follow Jesus? You mean like Eeyore on a line, or on a leash? Oh no, here we go again. If you don't know what Eeyore is, then go and ask a child. No, it's more like a puppet on a string, you allowing God to bring you to life and giving you meaning. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. If you want, you can turn to Matthew 10:32-39, and I'm going to read out of the Living Bible. I kind of based it on that. This morning I got my other Bible out and started reading. I said, this isn't quite making sense, and I went back. I guess my mind was wrapped around the way the Living Bible read it, and so I decided to read from there. Matthew 10:32-39. Well, just in case, I wasn't going to do this, but it's going to be easier. Matthew 10:32. If anyone publicly acknowledges me as his friend, I will openly acknowledge him as my friend before my Father in heaven. But if anyone publicly denies me, I will openly deny him before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to earth. No, rather a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's worst enemies will be right in his own home. If you love your father and mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will save it. What Jesus is saying here through Matthew is if we claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior here on earth, Jesus will claim us as one of his before his Father in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful and comforting thought? Jesus claiming us as one of his before the Father. Am I a Christian? Do I believe this scripture? Jesus is claiming me before the Father. I like that thought, but the following verses shows us it's not going to be hunky-gory. There could be very likely be big-time friction with family and friends over following Jesus. Thankfully, for most of us, because of our heritage and upbringing, the decision to follow Jesus was not a source of contention, but a source of joy. During the time this passage was written, the decision to follow Jesus was not a flippant decision to make. It could mean being completely cut off from family and friends. Why would somebody do that? Here could be a few reasons. For one, they are not happy with their life the way it is. The second reason they might have the perfect job, the perfect wife, the best children, the richest home, and so on, but there's something missing. Their life isn't fulfilling. There's a void. They can't put their finger on it. And you could add to the list. There's many, many things that could be the reason. John 6:44 says, no man can come to the Father except the Father which has sent me draw him. So we have this person who is not satisfied with their life the way it is, and we have God the Father drawing them and making them hungry for something. They don't know what it is, but their hunger is growing. Then we have this other guy hard at work that decides it's time for a little break, and since he's working right beside a lake and he always has his fishing pole with him, and he knows there are fish in the water because he heard them jumping, He decides to throw his line in just to test the waters. Sure enough, the timing was right. The hungry fish decided to try the bait and give his life so that 5,000 feet people could eat. A little fictional tale, which it's not fictional. It is true, but I kind of brought two together. But what I'm saying is God does the drawing or the softening of the heart. He uses people to do the fishing, and I kind of brought together. We always have God's word with us, or if we have a phone, a lot of times we can go right to a Bible verse and we can fish at work, or being fishers of men. But God does the drawing or the softening of the heart. He uses people to do the fishing or spreading God's word and showing them by living example the spirit-filled life. So let's recap a little. I guess I just did. We have a person not satisfied with their way of life. We have God drawing them. We have Christians planting the seed. And we have Christians showing them by living example the blessings of following Christ. Am I a Christian? Am I a good example? And then we have the person saying, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. But I want what they have. And in faith, accept Jesus into their heart. Then God begins to do what he did in John 24:45. He begins to open their minds so that they can understand Scripture. I believe God opens our understanding of Scripture according to how much we put into it. How much time do I dedicate to studying the Word? How precious is that time to me? How much do I really want God to show me what he wants to change in my life? How hard do I pursue God? Those are some questions that we should think on. All these things have an effect on how much God reveals himself to us. Let's look at an example in Scripture of a person dedicated to God. And if you want, I'm going to read out of Daniel. Daniel 9:3 is one verse. So I earnestly pleaded with the Lord God to end our captivity and send us back to our own land, is what Daniel was pleading to God. Then in Daniel 10, it says, in the third year of the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, Daniel, also called Belshazzar, had another vision. It concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of great tribulation, wars and sorrows, and this time he understood what the vision meant. When the vision came to me, Daniel said later, I had been in mourning for 3 full weeks. All that time I tasted neither wine nor meat, and of course I went without desserts. I neither washed nor shaved nor combed my hair. Then one day early in April, as I was standing beside a great Tigris River, I looked up and suddenly there before me stood a person robed in linen garments with a belt of purest gold around his waist and glowing lustrous skin. From his face came blinding flashes like lightning, and his eyes were pools of fire. His arms and feet shone like polished brass, and his voice was like the roaring of a vast multitude of people. I, Daniel, alone saw this great vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly filled with unreasoning terror and ran to hide, and I was left alone. When I saw this frightening vision, my strength left me, and I grew pale and weak with fright. Then he spoke to me, and I fell to the ground, face downward in a deep faint. But a hand touched me and lifted me up. Still trembling. His voice, O Daniel, and I heard his voice. O Daniel, greatly beloved of God, he said, I stand up and listen carefully to what I have to say to you, for God has sent me to you. So I stood up, still trembling with fear. Then he said, don't be frightened, Daniel, for your request has been heard in heaven and was answered the very first day you began to fast before the Lord and pray for understanding. That very day I was sent here to meet you. But for 21 days, the mighty evil spirit who overrules the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the top officers of the heavenly army, came to help me so that I was able to break through those spirit rulers of Persia. Now I am here to tell you what will happen to your people, the Jews, at the end times. For the fulfillment of this prophecy is many years away. All this time I was looking down, unable to speak a word. Then someone He looked like a man, touched my lips, and I could talk again. And I said to the messenger from heaven, Sir, I am terrified by your appearance and have no strength. How can such a person as I even talk to you? For my strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Then the one who seemed to be a man touched me again, and I felt strength renewed, or strength returning. God loves you very much, he said. Don't be afraid. Calm yourself. Be strong. Yes, be strong. Suddenly, as he spoke these words, I felt stronger and said to him, Now you can go ahead and speak, sir, for you have strengthened me. He replied, Do you know why I have come? I am here to tell you what is written in the book of the future. Then when I leave, I will go again to fight my way back past the prince of Persia and after him the prince of Greece. Only Michael, the angel who guards your people Israel, will be there to help me. We see here that Daniel was aggressively pursuing God. No eating, any tasty food, no meat or wine, no ointment. And it says, I read it in the Living Bible, so it brought out, I think it was no deodorants, but it said no washing and all that. And it says that, and verse 12 tells us that the first day Daniel started his mourning, God heard him. But God was met with resistance and couldn't get to him for 21 days. I had to think, that's probably, wow. Probably Michael started smelling something and he says, I have to go help this guy get through, or next he starts being making my people look bad. I had to think, Daniel, 3 weeks in mourning, that was basically fasting and really searching God. How often do we do that? We wonder sometimes why we don't get answers, and how often, and I look in my life, how often do I give up before I get an answer? It says God heard him the first day and he was trying to get to him to answer him, and it took 21 days for him to get through the spirit forces. How often do I give up and God have to turn back from what he's wanting to do for me because I just gave up and stopped praying about it or stopped fasting for it or whatever it might be? I just wrote here, how little I know and understand what God does for me behind the scenes. He was trying to get to Daniel for 21 days. What was Jesus doing all that time? He says fighting. Do I understand how much Jesus is going through on a daily basis for me, to help me, to be there for me, to fight with me and for me, and to protect me, to comfort and uphold me, the list can go on. Am I a Christian? Do I flippantly live my life without a thought of what it cost God, Jesus, daily to redeem me? Or am I humbled because of the effort he puts forth on my behalf? Do I praise him for it? Do I realize how insignificant I am compared to him? And do I realize how unworthy I am of his attention? And I guess I enjoyed just those there. Do I realize how insignificant I am compared to him? And I thought the devotions tied in real well with showing us how insignificant we are. And another scripture I'm going to read is Ephesians 2, 4 to 7. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again. And when he had raised Christ from the dead, only by his undeserving favor have we ever been saved and lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with him in heavenly realms, all because of what Christ Jesus did. And now God can always point to us as examples of how very, very rich his kindness is, as shown in all he has done for us through Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 37 to 39. But despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels won't and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we go, where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. And then Ephesians 3:16-19. And out of his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you all the mighty inner strength of his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves. Though it is so great that you will never see the end of it fully, or fully know and understand it, and so at last you will be filled with God himself. Am I a Christian? And I just said, please, gracious Heavenly Father, help me to live like one. So, do we have a song?
It will be up there. So, yeah, children's song, I am a Christian. Basically what this is called.
Okay, we can stand, and I'll pray, and then we'll sing the song, and you'll be dismissed. Okay, let's pray. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.